Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Ksubas Daf Memches. We left off on the top of Daf Memches, Amud Aleph. Today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and L'Zecher Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha Leah Shalom. It's also sponsored by Rosie and Mark Friedman, Le'ili Nishmas, Rosie's father, Mr. Eugene Gluck, Yehuda Ben Yoshua's third yard site is today. And it's also sponsored by Henry and Mindy Orlinsky, L'Zecher Nishmas, Henry's father, Menachem Yitzchak Ben Yaakov Yisrael, the only survivor of his family of 10 children, who volunteered to fight in Israel in 1948 and then rebuilt generations of Shomrei Torah Mitzvos with Amuna Pshuta. We thank all the Neshama Shev and Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to discuss today is, first we're going to continue the discussion that began in the bottom of Mem Zayinam Beis, where we define She'er, Ksus, and Ono. We brought that up in the context of discussing whether Mizonos is a Chi of Daraisa, but that's based on whether She'er, Ksus, and Ono somehow include, which the Torah identifies, includes Mizonos or does not include Mizonos. Then the Gemara is going to explain the Machlokas, whether the husband needs to pay for Beis Chalilin Mukonenes at his wife's funeral. Meaning, if that's the Minog, then of course he has to pay for it. If it's not the Minog, then why on earth would he have to pay for it? So what is that Machlokas really about? Then the Gemara is going to talk about what happens if a man becomes a Shota, or a man goes to the Medina Sayyam, and there are expenses that need to get paid. His wife needs Mizonos, his children need Mizonos. His wife needs tachshitim. There's tzedakah that has to be given. If Rachman Al-San's wife dies and she needs a kavura, so can we take his money without his permission because he's not here or he's not mentally here in order to pay for these expenses? And then the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph going over to Amud Beis is going to tell us, since in the previous Mishnah we discussed what the father has rights to at Erisin and what at Nisuin changes and now the husband has rights to. So this Mishnah is going to talk about, when does that happen? When exactly is the Nisuin that the rights go, the rights and privileges go from the father to the husband? And the Gemara is going to discuss for which the issues is she considered to be Bereshus HaBaal when she's given to the Shluchei HaBaal. Let's say the father or the Shluchim of the father give her over to the Shluchei HaBaal, but the husband's not there. These Shluchim are supposed to bring her back to the husband's city and to the husband's home. And now she's in transit. She's on the way, but she's in the she's together with, she's being accompanied by the Shluchei HaBaal. So what is her status exactly for all the different halachos? And we're going to have four different shitos in the Gemara, and the Gemara is going to prove one of those shitos, the shita of Shmuel, to be the correct one and all the others to be incorrect. And then at the end of the daf, the Gemara is going to discuss which misa does she get if at that point she's mizana, meaning if she's been given over to the Shluchei HaBaal, but she has not yet arrived at the home of the Baal, but the father's no longer in the picture, he already gave her over to the Shluchei HaBaal. So is that like an Ara Murasa that's Beskila? Or do we assume that's like a regular Eishes Ish that's Bechel? If she's Mizanus, that's going to be the last discussion at the end of the daf. So let's begin at the top of daf Memches Amud Aleph. So the Brisa now brings a third opinion as far as how to understand the pasuk of She'er, Ksus, Va'ona. We already had two opinions in the Brisa yesterday. Tosus points out that even though Reb Elazar ben Yaakov darshens the pasuk, as we're about to see, going purely on clothing, that She'er, Ksus, and Ona all relate to clothing and nothing else, that does not necessarily mean that he holds that Mizonos is only Midrabanan, that the Chi of Mizonos of the husband is only Midrabanan. It could be that he holds Mizonos is Min HaTorah, because the Braisa in the Mechilta has a drasha. The Braisa says Mizonos Minayin, and it says Kal V'chomer. If Dvarim She'ein Bem Kiyum Nefesh Kach, Dvarim She'esh Bem Kiyum Nefesh Halachas Kama V'kama, that if clothing, which is not Kiyum Nefesh, he's obligated to give her Min HaTorah, then Kal V'chomer Mizonos, which is Kiyum Nefesh, he's obligated to give her Min HaTorah. Not only that, the Braisa says, that even Tashma Shamita, even Derech Eretz, is something that might be Yechiv Daraisa, even if you hold Sher, Ksus, and Ona are all related to clothing. Because the Braisa says, Derech Eretz Minayin, and it says Kal V'chomer, Umad Dvarim Shalom Nisi Slalim L'Chadchila, Eino Rashi L'mnoa Mimena, Dvarim Shanisim L'Chadchila, Eino Din Shein Rashi L'mnoa Mimena. Things that people don't keep in mind at the time that they're getting married. Right at the time you go to a chasna and you try to read the chasna's mind, he's definitely not thinking, I wonder how much clothing I'm going to have to buy now that I'm getting married. Although probably he should be thinking that, but he's not thinking that. So, but things that relate to intimacy, where he probably is thinking that, so alachas kama v'kama, there's a chi of daraisa to provide that. The Yom Shlomo writes that from the fact that the Gemara doesn't bring that brisa, it must be that we don't pass like that brisa, and it's only an asmachta. So unlike what Tosfos assumes, that Mizonos and Tashmish are going to be daraisa even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Yom Shlomo is not so convinced, because the Gemara should have mentioned that. But anyway, let's see what Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov actually says. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, She'era Ksusa is all talking about clothing. Lufum She'era Tein Ksusa. It means, based on her type, that's the kind of clothing you give her. What does it mean, her type? A younger women and older women dress differently. You shouldn't give her younger women's clothing if she's an older woman, or older women's clothing if she's a younger woman. It shouldn't be clothing that's entirely inappropriate for people in her age bracket. And ono also relates to clothing. It means, based on the time of year, that's the kind of clothing you should give her. Don't buy her the new clothing for the summertime and the worn-out thin clothing for the wintertime. It used to be like that. It wasn't that they had different styles in the summer and the winter, and you know, he just found a sale to be able to buy summer clothing when it was wintertime. No, they used to buy heavier clothing, and they'd wear it all winter, and then by the end of the winter, it was so worn out that it became thin clothing, and thin clothing is more appropriate for the summertime. So when you're buying her the heavier clothing, buy it in time for the winter so she can be warm for the winter, and then by the summertime you could have shchakim, she could have worn out very thin type of clothing during the summertime. So all of it relates to clothing. She'er, ksus, ona is all about clothing. Tanya Rav Yosef, she'era zukir of basa. No, that she'era means that when he's having tashmish with her, he has to have kir of basa. There has to be skin to skin contact. Shlo yinag ba minag parsiim shemisham shemit which means not to do like the Parsiim who have Tashmish Amita while clothed. This is a riot to Ravuna, where Ravuna says that if the husband says that he only wants to have Tashmish if they're both wearing clothing, then he has to divorce her and pay her Ksuba because he's ruining the marriage. That is not the way Tashmish is meant to be, and therefore even though his intention is to do so for the sake of Tzinius, Tzinius is accomplished in other ways. Maybe a beged over the two of them, but in between the two of them there should be no beged. That is part of the chiyuv of she'er, that she'era means kiruv basa that he's required to have with his wife. Rabbi Yehuda Amar Afilu Ani Shavisol. So now the Gemara moves on to a new topic, that Rabbi Yehuda had disagreed with the Tanakhama and said that even an Ani Shavisol has to hire Shnei Chalilin and a Mekonenes at her Levaya. So says the Gemara, Mechal Tanakhama Savar Hani Lo. The implication is Tanakhama holds he does not need to hire Shnei Chalilin and a Mekonenes at her Levaya. You don't need to hire two flutes and someone to wail at the Levaya. Say, Hey Chidami, Ido or Chamay Time if that's the standard in that place where they live, so why not? Why wouldn't you hire these people? That's how you make a levaya in such a place. And if it's totally unusual, then why would Rabbi Yehuda think that you would have to do it? Meaning, it would, in a place where it's unusual, in our communities, for example, if all of a sudden you show up at a levaya and there's a mekonenes, the two chalilin and mekonenes, it would be strange. So why would Rabbi Yehuda say that you're obligated to pay for such things? So says Maralotzricha. There are different standards, right? There's the deluxe package, and then there's a. So it's in. He's of a higher level in terms of wealth. So in the derech of people in his family is to have Shnei Chalilin and Mekonenes. But her family comes from more modest means, and they typically don't have Shnei Chalilin and Mekonenes. So is he obligated to pay for his wife, where she comes from a family that doesn't do this, or that doesn't can't afford to do this, but he comes from a family that does do this. So Tanakam Savarki, I mean, an Oli Imove in the Eredisimo, that when does the Brisa say that a woman's status in society is elevated to what the husband's is if he's on a higher echelon of society, but she does not go down with him? Hani Mili Mechaim, that's only during her lifetime. Avdeachamisa, lo, but after she dies, she's not Ola Imo anymore, and therefore she goes back, she reverts back to whatever her family was. Rabbi Yehuda Savrafil Lacharmisa, and Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and holds that Rafil Lacharmisa, that she, even after she dies, she is still Ola Imo. What does this mean, that she's Ola? Where do we get this idea that she's Ola Imo in general? That even when she's alive, that a woman's status is elevated to that of her husband? So there's a Tosefta in the fifth parak that says, Ha'ashir Ola Imo, Ha'ani, Ha'ashir rather, if he becomes wealthy, Ola Imo, then she goes up in that status with him. But Hani, if he becomes poor, then she's Ein Yoredas Imo. She doesn't go down. And the Mefarshim explained, the Chazi Davar and Tosefta says, that if when they got married, he was poor, and he gave, therefore, a very modest amount of mezonos, and then he struck it rich, he has to give Kefiya Sagas Yado. He can't say, well, you're used to eating tuna fish sandwiches, and you're not used to eating more expensive food. No, he has to start providing a more expensive food. But if he was a wealthy person and he became poor, he cannot start giving her cheaper food. He has to, and if he's not able to provide her with what she's used to, then she could demand a divorce and he's going to have to pay the ksuba. And Rav Huna on Daf Samach Aleph is going to learn this idea that a woman is always ola together with the baal, and Eini Yoredes Imo, from the phrase in the Torah, Vihi bu'ulas baal, ba'aliyaso shel baal, v'lo b'yiridaso shel baal. Bu'ulas baal, not bu'ulas, but ba'aliyas baal. That she goes up with the baal, but she's not Yoredes with the baal. So the whole machlokas, says the Gemara, is only in a case where his family is used to Shnei Chalil and Mekonenes, her family is not. So it's a machlokas whether she's Ola Imo La Achar Misa or not. Tulsa raised the obvious question. Wait a second. If the machlokas is about whether she's Ola Imo La Achar Misa, so it's not really about Shnei Chalilin and a Mekonenes. That's just, that might be somebody's standard. Maybe others have 10 Chalilin and 5 Mekonenes. I don't know. Meaning it's only really about Ola Imo, whatever his standard is. So why would the Mishnah be so misleading and make it sound like, no, that it's Dafka, this number of people that you have to hire. You have to hire these 2 Chalilin, 1 Mekonenes. It should just say whatever, that whatever his Maila is. And Tosfos for that reason actually disagrees with Rashi in terms of the interpretation of the whole sugya. However, the Shittim Gvetzes quotes from Tamid Rebbe Niyona that what it means is that the derech of his B'nai Mishpacha is to make a hesped, and it's not the derech of her B'nai Mishpacha to make a hesped. And Rabbi Yehuda is Mechadesh that whenever that's the rule, whenever the derech of his B'nai Mishpacha is to make a hesped, minimal hesped means Shnei Chalilin and Mekonenes. So it is something about that number, that if you just know that your minhag is to do hesped, that's what hesped means in his family. So Amrav Chisam Marukva, Halach Rabbi Yehuda, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that even though it's not the derech of her b'nei mishpacha to have chalilin and mekonenes, nevertheless, you still do it if it's the derech b'nei mishpachto, because she is ole imo afilu la'achar misa. Period. So once we mention that statement of Rav Chisda Amar Marukva, so we take a little bit of a turn and we go on a little bit of a tangent with a different statement of Rav Chisda Amar Marukva. V'yamar Rav Chisda Amar Marukva, Misha Nishtate, if a person became a Shota, so he lost his Das, based in Yordan L'Nchasov, and Mepharnes in Esisho, Bala Benosov, V'davar Acher, Bezin can go to his bank accounts and they can take out money to be Mepharnes, provide clothing for his wife and for his children, his sons and his daughters, and also Davar Acher. The Gemara is going to have 2 days what Davar Acher means. So I'm going to Ravashi, Maishna Mehad Tanya. Well, wait a second. Why, if he goes crazy, is that any different from what the Brisa says of Misha Medina Sayam, the Ishto Tavas Mizonos, that if a guy is physically not here, he went to Medina Sayam, and his wife is asking for Mizonos, that Bezin Yardin L'Nechasim, Mizonim Farnas and Asishto, that Bezin could go into his Nechasim, and they can support his wife, Avalo, Banavubanosav, but they cannot support his children with that money without his permission, velo davar acher, and whatever davar acher is, they can't do that either. So why is there a difference between if he's mentally not here versus if he's physically not here? Apparently when he's mentally not here, we're allowed to use his money to support his children and for davar acher, whatever that means. When he's physically not here, his wife, yes. But his children and Davar Acher? No. So why the difference? So Amleis, Ravashi said to Ravina, V'lo shayni lach min yotzi l'das l'yotzi shalo l'das. When he's physically not here, he planned on leaving. And before he left, he never told us to provide for his children. He never told us to provide for Davar Acher. So we have to assume that he didn't want to. But if a person became a Shota, he didn't plan on becoming a Shota. So he couldn't get his affairs in order before becoming a Shota. And therefore we have the right to assume that the average person, that a typical person would have wanted it. If he went to Medina Siyam and he didn't say anything, then we know that he didn't want it. But someone who became a Shota, so it's Bal Karcho that he became a Shota. He didn't have any chance to tell us what to do with his children. So therefore we follow the Rove. And Rove
rove people in such a situation would want to provide for their children. So the only thing we didn't clarify is my davar acher. What exactly is this davar acher that we're saying that if he went l'medina siyam, we're not going to provide, but if he became a shota, we will provide. So if chistamer zed tachshit, that's referring to besamim, to perfumes that women would wear in order to smell nice, and we don't take from his money to pay for his wife's perfumes if he left l'medina siyam. Tosfos writes, even though a person is chayiv to pay for his wife's kishutin, for his wife's perfumes, that's only if he's there, because the whole point of it is that she should be attractive to him and she should smell attractive to him. But if he's not there, then maybe that doesn't apply. Rav Yosef says, no, tzedakah. It means that we're not allowed to give tzedakah from his nechasim. And when they make a tax of tzedakah on all the b'nei ha'ir, we cannot go to his nechasim and take tzedakah. Meaning it used to be tzedakah wasn't just that you try to convince people to give tzedakah to a particular cause. There were obligations. You belong to that community. So every once in a while, when there was a need for tzedakah in that community, they would assess everybody's tax returns or whatever, and they would figure out what each person could afford, and they would levy a tax on the people that they have to support, right? Meaning, how did yeshivas get supported? It was an obligation on the entire city, equally, whether you had children, you don't have children, you live in a city, there needs to be a shul, there needs to be a mikvah, there needs to be a yeshiva, there needs to be... So everyone's got to pay for these things. So for tzedakah, tzedakah is one of those things that everybody has to pay for, but the guy's not here. So that's what we're saying. For davar acher, if he left town, and he didn't tell us, so we cannot take from his money. So mind the Amr Takshit, the one that says that we don't take from his money for Takshitin, Kolshkein Tzedakah, for sure we're not going to take for Tzedakah. Well, mind the Amr Tzedakah, the one that says we don't take from his money for Tzedakah, but Takshit Yavinullah, Dilo Nichle Ditinavel. We will take for Takshit because it's very likely that he doesn't want his wife to become Menuvelas. Isn't it also very likely that he doesn't want to not do the mitzvah of Tzedakah, that everyone wants to do the mitzvah of Tzedakah? So the mitzvah says, yeah, and for all we know he is doing the mitzvah of tzedakah wherever he is, meaning he's b'medina sayam. So it's not that he's not doing the mitzvah of tzedakah. Right now, he's not a ben ha'ir. He's not in the city, so we're not going to levy the tzedakah tax on him. So now, once the Braisa talks about someone who's shaylach l'medina sayam, as far as the mezonos that's provided for his wife and his children, the Gemara talks about, and what about if his wife dies? Do we use his money to pay for her burial? If a person disappeared, he went to Medina Siyam, and then his wife died, Beisdin Yordan L'Nechasav, the Kovrin Osol Lefi Kvodo. Beisdin takes from his money, and they bury her based on Kvodo, based on the Kavod that his family is used to. Lefi Kvodo, Velo Lefi Kvoda. Does that mean that if her family is used to a higher level of kavod, where only the max is only going to be lefi kvodo, and we're not going to provide lefi kvoda lechora, that should absolutely not be true. We said she's ola imo. Okay, we had a discussion. Does ola imo apply even la'achar misa? But eino yoredes imo should apply certainly la'achar misa. If she's eino yoredes imo while she's still married to him, so after she dies, she should for sure not be yoredes imo. She should for sure not be downgraded with him. Se'ema af lefik vodo. No, what we mean to say is not that lefik vodo is the maximum, but lefik vodo is the minimum. But if she has, if her family is used to a higher level of kavod, then of course, then he has to pay for that. Now, hakamash milan, where the chiddush is that only imo ve'en yiredes imo va'afil lachar misa, that she's only imo, even lachar misa. The fact that she's only yiredes imo va'afil lachar misa, that's obvious, but that she's even only imo lachar misa, like we said, the sheet of Rabbi before of the Shnei Chalil and Mekonenis is all because she's only imo afilu liachar misa. Amar Rav Masna, ha'omer emesa lo tikbro min chasav. Let's say a husband is about to die and his dying wish is that his money should not be used to bury his wife. So that's what he chooses to make his lasting legacy. So Shomelo, we listen to him and we cannot use his money for that. So it says, well, does he really need to even say that? Maishna kiyamar, dinafli nichsi kamiyasmi. Why is it that we listen to him? Because his nechasim all belong to his yorshim. His yorshim have no chiyav to bury their father's wife. She received the ksuba. And with that ksuba money, that's what she was supposed to get buried with. And therefore, when she dies, that ksuba money goes to her yorshim and their are obligated to bury her. It makes sense what he's saying, so he shouldn't need to say it. So Kilor Menami, even if he doesn't say it, Nipsikami Yasmi Ramu, the Nechasim go to the Yisomim, and therefore they should not be obligated to bury her. So why is it that Rav Masna has to tell us that if he says, I don't want my money to bury my wife, to be used to bury my wife, then we listen to him. Even if he doesn't say it, we're not going to use the money for that. Elohomer and Mace, who Lotik Bru Minchasav, No. What the real chiddush is what he's saying is that when I die, I don't want you to use my money to bury me. Then we don't listen to him. So the Ritva points out the Mishnah. What the Gemara is trying to do is not to change the lashon of the Maimer. It's saying that's what Rav Masna meant. He was just saying it in a clever way. Meaning when Rav Masna said that if a guy says that if I die, don't bury my wife with my money, shomenlo, he's trying to say, but to bury himself, ain't shomenlo. We're not going to listen to him not to use his money to bury himself. Why not? Because lav kalimenu, she ashers bun of the apalatz melatzibur. What's he doing? He's saying, I want my children to get all my Yerusha. I don't want my Yerusha to be spent on my own funeral. So what? So the tzibur should pay for your funeral while your children get rich? That's not right. That a person should be ma'ashir his own children at the expense of the tzibur. Now this whole idea that if he's gone, that we're going to use his money to give tzedakah, or not use his money to give tzedakah, and to do all these other really important and nice things to bury his wife with his money. So that's a part of a broader discussion in Poskim and in Shulchan Aruch about whether you're allowed to use someone's money without their permission in order to fulfill a mitzvah. Shulchan Aruch writes in Aruchayim Simin Yud Dalit that you're allowed to take someone's talis without their permission. If you go to shul and there's no talis there except for your friend's talis, so you're allowed to take someone's talis without permission. Let's say you're to wear tcheles, and all the shuls talis and don't have tcheles, but you know that your friend's talis is right there and it has tcheles, so you want to do the mitzvah with his talis. So as long as you fold it up afterwards, you're allowed to do that. And the Rama writes, and who adin for tefillin, that you're allowed to borrow someone's tefillin without permission. However, you're not allowed to learn from his svarim without his permission, because svarim can get torn, and if they get torn, then that he'll be very, very upset by that. So the Mishnah Berurah explains what's the reason, what's the difference? So he says the reason you're allowed to take his talis shlomi daito is because nichle linish lav mitzvah money. It's chazak. It's an umdana that his das is that he wants people to do money with his mitzvah. But that's only ba'akrai. But if every single day you go and you take this other guy's tefillin, he may get upset about that. Then we don't assume nichle linish lav mitzvah money. And I feel ba'akrai it's dafka to use it in place. But to then go take it, you're going to pick up the talis and tefillin in this shul. You're going to go bring it to a different shul, and you're like, no, most people would not be so happy about that. They would want to know at least what room it's in, that it's where they left it. To go bring it to a different place would not be so. Meaning all of these things are talui on what's nichle. That's why the Achronim suggest that maybe this has changed, meaning the assumption that no one ever wants you to use their svarim, because svarim are very delicate and svarim are very expensive and it's not easy to get new svarim. Maybe that's before the printing press. Maybe now that printed svarim is so easy to come by, unless you have a rare sefer. I was at a chasson last night. The chasson made a siyum from a limited edition Shas that was printed for people in the DP camps after the Second World War. There were 50 copies of this Shas printed, and the grandfather of the Chassan bought him for his bar mitzvah, bought it on auction, this Shas. And he bought it for his bar mitzvah, and he said, I expect you to finish it. And last night at his chasna, he finished it. He finished Shas. He asked Rav Shechter if he could make a siyum on Shas at his chasna. He said, no, it's Yuhara, you can't. You can only pick a mesechta. He said, take Kiddushin, you'll make a siyum on Kiddushin. So he finished Shas, made a siyum on Kiddushin at his chasna. It was like a very special kind of thing. It's like one of those things that, like, you know, you'll remember being here at this kind of event. But anyway, so nowadays with svarim, we assume most people are not so makbid about svarim. Tefillin, people are a little more makbid about things that touch their skin and someone else's schwitz and whatever. So maybe people are a little more makbid when it comes to, certainly if you can start changing the size of change the knot on the head or whatever. So then certainly people get very makbid about that, rightfully so. Okay, so now the Mishnah goes on. The Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph. Lolami Rishus Ha'av Ad Shetikanes. She always remains in the Rishus Ha'av Ad Shetikanes L'Rishus Ha'bal, until she goes into the Rishus Ha'bal L'Nisuin, for the sake of Nisuin. By entering into the Chuppah, she now is over to the from the Rishus Ha'av to the Rishus Ha'bal. So all of those rites that we said transfer at Nisuin, that happens when she goes into the Rishus Ha'bal. Of course, there's a Machlokas Rishonim, what that is, meaning what exactly is chuppah? So the Rambam writes that the arus brings his arusa into his house, v'yisyachedima, that they have yichud together, and that is the definition of chuppah. That's what Shechter writes in Bikvei Atzon, and he mentions all the time that some of the earlier poskim say that ideally, right after the chuppah, since the brachos are on the nisuin, and according to Shitas Rambam, the nisuin is the yichud, they should run them right out from the chuppah and get to the yichud room as quickly as possible. Typically now, at weddings, there's a lot of hugs and kisses and things like that, and the photographer stops them 10 times to take all the different pictures before they could leave the chuppah, and then the friends dance them very slowly all the way to the yichud room. So it's really not. So this chassid actually last night is a real Talmud of Rav Shechter. I noticed during the singing of Imeshkachech at the end of the chuppah, he started hugging his mother, his father, his father-in-law. His wife hugged her parents and her mother-in-law. And then as soon as Imeshkachech ended, they were halfway up the aisle. The friends didn't even have time to catch them. So Maritzin, he was makvid to run to the yichud room. Okay, not everyone's so makvid about that, but that's the shitas Rambam, that yichud is chuppah. Now, not all the Rishonim agree with that. Others suggest that it's the chuppah, meaning that's what the Rama writes, that it's what we call the chuppah, bringing her into his rishos under the chuppah. So anyway, so once they have nisuin, that's when everything transfers. But what if masra av l'shluchei habal? The father gave her over to the shluchei habal. So the husband has shluchim that are bringing her to his house. Sarei b'rishos habal. Once the shluchei habal have her, so then she's considered b'rishos habal. And we'll see soon what that means. Halach avim shluchei habal. If the father accompanies the shluchei habal, o shaholchu shluchei avim shluchei habal. Or if the father's own shluchim continue to accompany her with the shluchei habal, harei b'rishos av. Then she's still considered to be b'rishos av because he hasn't let go yet. Meaning only when the father lets go, and then the husband's shluchim take her, only then is she b'rishos habal. Masru shluchei av l'shluchei habal, harei b'rishos habal. If the shluchei av gave her to the shluchei habal, and the shluchei av are no longer there, okay, so now she's in her husband's rishos at that time, from the time of the mesira. So ma'ili olam, what's the lashon of the olam that it says in our mishnah, l'olam hi b'rishos av atshit karnis rishos habal nisun? What would have been lost if we would have just said that she's b'rishos av atshit karnis rishos habal nisun? What does the word l'olam actually add? So says Gemara Lafuke mi Mishnah Rishona, comes to tell me not to say like the Mishnah Rishona, the original version, Ditnan, because the Mishnah is going to tell us that he gives man v'lo nisun. If you have an arusa that was told that the wedding date is going to be, the nisun is going to be at a particular time, and that date comes and the husband for whatever reason is unable to get married that day, an ones happens, or for whatever other reason he's ma'akev, he doesn't get married, ochlos mishalo, she already starts getting supported from his possessions, and if he's a kohen, va'ochlos b'truma, she already starts having the right to eat truma. Really, minat Torah, she has the right to eat truma from the shas erusin. We only don't allow her to eat truma mishas erusin either because we're afraid that he might find a mum in her at the nisuin, and then it's going to be a mekach tos, and it'll turn out that she was never allowed to eat truma, or because we're afraid that if you give her the truma, she's going to share it with her family that she's still living with. But midal raisa, she's really allowed to eat truma at erusin. So when the rabbanu were misakein that she has to wait till nisuin, she only has to wait until the date the nisuin was supposed to happen. But if the husband isn't ready to get married for some reason on the date the nisuin is supposed to happen, then she's allowed to eat truma. That's what the Mishnah Rishona says. So kamash malan liolam. That's what our Mishnah is telling us. We don't paskin that way. That she remains liolam b'rishos aviyah, even if the zman had come for nisuin to happen and it didn't happen, she's not allowed to eat truma until she actually has nisuin. That's the sheet of the Mishnah Achrona, and that's what we're paskin like, unlike the Mishnah Rishona. Even though we already we're going to see in a week and a half from now, Dafnun Zion, that Beferush that we pass on like the Mishnah Achrona. So Tosus and the Ritva point out a lot of times you have like that Derech Agav, if there's an opportunity for a Mishnah to sort of sneak in there, that we pass in this way Lalacha, even though it's explicit elsewhere, we'll sneak it in there. So with the word Liolam, the Mishnah was able to sneak in this idea that we pass on like the Mishnah Achrona and not like the Mishnah Rishona. Okay, then we said Masav L'Shluchei Habal Harei B'Rishos Habal. So our Mishnah said that once the Shluchei Habal have her, even though the Baal doesn't have her yet, she hasn't arrived at his house yet, but his shluchim have her, so then she's considered to be b'rishos habal. So the question is, for what? Meaning for everything? She's considered b'rishos habal. Four opinions in the Gemara. Amarav, misirasa lakol, chutz mitruma. For everything except for truma. She's not going to be allowed to have truma until she actually enters the Rishos Habal, but when she's in the hands of the Shluchei Habal, legabe all other halachas, legabe all other dinim, she's, for all intents and purposes, a nesua. She has nisuin. Rav Asi amar af l'tshuma. Rav Asi says, for everything, including tshuma, as soon as the Shluchei Habal, however, this is not the same discussion with Mishnah Rishon and Mishnah Achrona. Mishnah Rishon and Mishnah Achrona was that the nisuin was supposed to happen, and then it didn't. Over here, it is happening, it's just that she's been given over, but not to the husband yet, but to the shluchim of the husband. So far, two deos. Rav says that she's considered completely in the rishus of the Baal with the exception of Truma, and Rav Asi says completely in the rishus of the Baal, including Truma. So Eisle, Ravuna l'Rav Asi, Ravuna challenges Rav Asi, Varmila chia barav l'Rav Asi, and some say it was chia barav that challenges Rav Asi, who said that it works even for Truma, that our Mishnah says the olam Hebrew rishus ha'av ad shetikaris l'chupa. So we said that means that she doesn't eat truma. Li'olam meant that she doesn't eat truma. So apparently, but when does she not eat truma? Ad shetikanes l'chupa, until she's actually nichnas l'chupa. So how can Rav Asi say misirasa l'kol af l'chuma, that even when the shluchei habal have her, that she gets to eat truma? It says ad shetikanes l'chupa. She's not yet tikanes l'chupa. She hasn't gotten into the husband's home yet. So amalehu Rav said to Rav Huna and to Chia, lav amina l'chu. Didn't I tell you l'teiz l'basar ribcha? Don't start asking for mishnayis that you can easily explain on both. You know, in two different ways. You know, you could easily explain both sides of the issue using the words of the Mishnayos. Yachol Shmuel, who you could very simply answer that misirasa zuhi knisasa l'chupa. It only says atche tikanis l'chupa. Who says she had that knisa l'chupa? Maybe the mesira to the shluchim is Knisa L'chupa. So she did have Knisa L'chupa. So that's not something to ask a kasha from. Okay, so far we had two days. When you give her to the Shluchei Habal, one opinion was she's in the husband's Rishos for everything but Truma. Second opinion was in the husband's Rishos for everything including Truma. Third opinion now. Shmuel Amar L'Yerushasa. When it says that she's Rishos Habal, it means only as far as Yerusha is concerned. That if once the father has given her over to the Shluchei, if she were to die at that point, the husband would yarshin the nechasim of the nedunya that the father gave her to bring into the marriage. As far as everything else, eating truma and afaras nedarim and maisiyah deha and mitziyasa, so then she's still bereshus ha'av until she's nichnas l'chupa. That she would not be entitled to. Shmuel holds that giving her over to the shluchei ha'av is not really nisuin. She's still considered an arusa legabe all the halachos, only as far as Yerusha, because Yerusha is about Kiruv Hadas that exists between them, by giving her over for the Nisun. So once the father said his goodbyes, he's then also saying goodbye to the Nadunya. Meaning when he says his goodbye to his daughter, so the assumption is he's saying goodbye to all of his money as well, right? The Nadunya that's going with her, that's what he's saying goodbye to as well. But Hafaras Nadarim has nothing to do with that. Has nothing to do with whether he's saying goodbye to Hafaras Nadarim or not. By Truma, we still have the concern that we always have that maybe he'll find a mum that if, as long as the husband doesn't have her yet. So what changes that nisun as far as truma is that the husband was able to examine whether she has a mum or not. He's been able to see he doesn't have that yet because she's not yet birushuso. Maisi adayim and mitzia, the father's not makna to the baal because the whole reason the chum were makna and the maisi adayim to the baal is because she's nizonas mimenu, is because she's supporting him. She's not in his house being supported from him yet. So the maisi adayim doesn't apply yet. His rights to the Maisi Adayim don't apply. The Mitziah, he takes Mishum Eva, that we have to be concerned that maybe he's not going to give her Mizonos if he doesn't get her Mitziah. Again, that's not operative yet. So it's only, Shmuel says, as far as Yerusha, that when you give her the Shluchei Baal, so that's the only thing that changes is Yerusha. And then a fourth opinion, Reish Lakish Amar, L'Ksubasa. When it says she's Bereshus HaBaal, it means only for the Ksuba. So it says, Ksubasa Mai. What do you mean, Ksuba? Do you Mesa Yarisla? Does that mean that if she dies along the way, that the nedunya will go to the husband? Haina de Shmuel. It's exactly what Shmuel's shita was. That was shita number three, right? So that's just a repeat if you're saying that it means the ksuba. So Amar Avina, no. When he says ksubasa, lomar ksubasa me acher mana. That even though she hadn't had bia yet with her husband, because she hadn't even been in his home yet, If she gets remarried afterwards, let's say the husband dies at that point, and she gets remarried afterwards, she only gets a ksubas almana. She does not get a ksubas besula. This is a machlokas rishonim, where the Reish Lakish disagrees with Shmuel and holds that the mesira l'shluchei abal works for the ksuba and does not work for Yerusha, or he's coming to be mosif that yes, it works for Yerusha at least, but maybe also the ksuba, maybe also as far as what her future ksuba is going to be. So that's the discussion in the Rishonim. Are they each picking only one thing that the Mesira Shluchei Abal works for, and they're different things? Or is Shmuel picks only one thing, or Reish Lakish says, in addition to your one, there's a second thing that Mesira Shluchei Abal works for, and that is that she's going to be considered an almana as far as her next ksuba. Rabbi Yochanan ben Chanina and Rabbi Tarvai, Rabbi Yochanan ben Chanina both say, lakol af l'truma, that it works for everything, even for Achilas Truma, which was the Shita of Rav Asi, right? Rav Asi said, af l'truma. So Meisei, so the Gemara challenges. Halacha avim shluchei abal. If the father goes with the shluchei abal, l'shalchu shluchei avim shluchei abal, or the father's messengers go together with the shluchei abal, oshay shlochatzer baderech, or the woman had her own chatzer on the road, on the path toward the husband's house. V'nichnasay imo lalin, and she goes, the kala goes with him to sleep in that chatzer. Afal pi sheksubasa bebeis baila, even though the stuff that she's taking for her nadunya is in her husband's house, mesa avi. If she dies, because at that point, before she was really nichnas l'chuppah, the husband does not get the nadunya, the father yarshins her. Because that's not a mesira l'chuppah, because the father or his shluchim are still accompanying her. So that's not a real mesira l'chuppah. But the Brisa says, Masra av l'shluchei abal. If the father already gave her over to the shluchei abal, osha masra shluchei av l'shluchei abal, or the shluchei av gave her over to the shluchei abal, and the shluchei av didn't continue to escort her. Oh, shaisel of chatzar bederech, or maybe the husband has a chatzar in the derech. V'nichnas eimo l'shum nisuin, and he brings her in there for the sake of nisuin. Afal pi shuksubas beis avia, even though physically the nadunya may still be in her father's house, mesa baila yarsha. If she dies at that point, her husband will yarshin her, because that's considered as if she has nisuin legabe the yerusha. So b'medvar mamurim, when do we say that giving her over to the shluchei habal is going to have an impact and it's going to be considered like a nisuin? It sounds like the yerushasa, that's only as far as the yerusha goes. Aval truma eini shachalos b'truma atshe tikanis l'chuppa, but as far as truma goes, she's not going to be allowed to eat his truma yet until she's nichnas l'chuppah. So you see that the Brisa is exactly like Shmuel, that Mesira works only for Yerusha and not for truma and not l'chora for anything else. Even though the Brisa only mentions that it's l'yorsha and not for truma, and it doesn't say what about everything else. It doesn't say what about Metzia, what about Maisida, what about Afaras and Dereha. It doesn't give anything else. But Ramban points out the implication is that it's really only about Yerusha. That truma is just an example of on the other side. But I mean, the point is that the Mesira only worked for Yerusha and didn't work for Truma and everything else. That's it, even though it didn't spell out everything else, that's what it must mean. And therefore, Tiyufta, Dekulu Tiyufta. This is a Tiyufta on all of them. We had four Shitos. This is a Tiyufta on all except for Shmuel. That's what you have to say, that all of them doesn't really mean all of them. It means Tiyufta on all of them except for the Shita of Shmuel. That's the way the Rishonim tells us, not the Rishonim understand over here. So anyway, so it says, wait a second, you just quoted the Brisa. The Brisa itself was a little confusing. Hagufa kasha amrit nichnasei imo lalin, that if she goes in just to spend the night, just to sleep, but not for the shame nisuin, then the husband doesn't yarshin her yet. So time of the lalin, it sounds like it's only because it was explicitly stated that the purpose was just to be able to get some sleep. Hastama, but if she goes into the chatzah with him stam, without saying what the intention is, the shame nisuin, the implication is that that would be considered a nisuin. The assumption is that they're doing it l'shem nisuin. Ema seifa, but then the seifa says, nichnas imo l'shem nisuin, that only if they go in l'shem nisuin is it a real nisuin, and then he's going to start yashining her. Hastama, which implies that if they go in stam without explicitly saying what the purpose of them going together is, lalin, that it's just to sleep over. Sam ravashi, stami stami katani, stam chatzar didah lalin. Kalin, Stam Chatzir Didei L'Nisuin, that it depends whose Chatzir it is. If it's hers Chatzir, the Stam is assumed just Lalin, and if it's his Chatzir, the Stam is assumed L'Nisuin. So Tana Masra Av L'Shulchei Bal Zinsa Harezu B'chenek. If the father gave her over to the Shulchei Bal, and then at that time, at that point she's Mizana, she's like an Nisua as far as her Onesh. She gets Chenek, and not like an Arum Rasa, who would get Skila. Minani Mili, how do I know she gets Chenek and not Skila? Amar Avayim Barchama, Amar Kral, Liznos Pesavia, Pratlish Masrav, L'Shulchei Bal. We darshan that Narum Rasa says Liznos Pesavia, and that excludes the case of Masrav L'Shulchei Bal, where she's now going to be subject to Chenek. Ve'im Pratlin Nichsul Chubav Lo Nivla. Maybe it's coming to exclude the case of Nichnas L'Chubav Lo Nivla. Amar Rava, Amar Li Ami, Ami already explained Chubav Behed Yaksiva by the Nichnas L'Chubav Lo Nivla. It says in Beferish Kiyeh Nar Besulim Rasa Leish. Nara means V'lo Bageris. Once she's a Bageris, it's no longer Skila. Besula V'lo Beula. That means once she's a Beula, it's no longer Skila. Mu'urasa V'lo Nesua. Mu'urasa means once she's a Nesua, it's no longer Skila. My Nesua, what do we mean by Nesua? Ilem Nesua Mamish. If it means that they actually had Bia, Haina Besula V'lo Beula. We already darshan that. The word Nesua is telling me that if she's Nechsa L'Chubav Lo Nivla, then already at that point, she's no longer going to be Chayv Skila. She would only be Chayv Chenek for being Mizana. Okay, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up at the top of Daf Memtes Amud Aleph.